This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author,
Chris Ducker.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 134 of Youpreneur FM. Thank you for tuning in. Are you hungry today? Are you hungry for knowledge? Are you thirsty for a little bit of value bombing? Because trust me, it's coming your way whether you like it or not. My good friend, my best buddy actually, Mr. Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income is back in the house and I'm very happy to have him back. We're going to be talking all about email funnels and autoresponders. It's a topic we talked a little bit about on and off actually over the last few months because this is big boy business sort of stuff, isn't it, right? This is all about getting your stuff together when it really comes down to marketing a business on an ongoing, almost automated basis. So Pat has made a lot of changes recently in sort of regards to his own funnel, his autoresponder, which was actually already very popular and extremely good when it comes to, you know, converting people into affiliate sales and things like that. But ultimately, some things simply need to be updated from time to time. As simple as that. So we're going to talk with Pat right now. I'm not going to mess around. I'm going to get straight into the content here today. We're going to talk with Pat about the catalyst, why he decided to make all these changes after so long in regards to building a profitable, very famous online brand, and what it's meant for him now as the CEO of his own business and how he believes it's going to take everything to the next level. This is the type of conversation that you are literally going to go back to over and over again. And for our Youpreneur members, you know there's going to be a post about this inside our private community. I want you over there the moment you're done listening in on this and sharing some of your takeaways as well as some of the changes that you're no doubt going to be making as a direct result of tuning in today. Here's a chat with me and Pat. Enjoy. So Pat, welcome back to the show, brother.
So happy to be here, man. Always a pleasure to talk to you and talk to your audience too.
Yeah, and they love you and you know they love you. So today I wanted to get you back on the show. I wanted to get you on the show, talk about the changes you've been making over the last, what, 3-4 months or so.
Big changes.
Massive changes, not just in, and obviously we're going to zoom in on the email side of things today, but give us an update, just a real couple of minutes here, just an update for all the changes that have been happening for you in 2015 in terms of the business, lifestyle, the whole kit and caboodle. Bring us all up to scratch.
Well, the biggest thing was the mindset shift in terms of how I'm approaching my business. And you know this because we talk about this we talk with each other all the time. I was always sort of the scrappy self-made entrepreneur, right? I kind of just put things together. And even my website reflects that in terms of how it's designed and especially how it was designed before in terms of just whatever seemed to be working at the time I would put on and I would just kind of do it. And it was very scrappy, but wasn't very planned in terms of the future of the brand. But I'm making a mindset shift this year in terms of how I'm managing the business, not just day in and day out, but long-term. And I'm thinking of myself more as a CEO of my company. And that's been a lot of fun to think about because it makes me think about management of my team, which I know you're all about, obviously. Mm-hmm. It makes me think about planning for the future and content calendars, which I've never really planned out before. And in having the right people in place to help out with all the stuff I want to do as the CEO of my company, it's been already, even though we're in the middle of changes right now, we're seeing tremendous results from the work that we're doing. And really what it came down to is the first thing that we wanted to do was run a survey. I hadn't done a survey since 2010 with my audience. It's 2015, people.
Yeah.
So 5 years A lot can happen in 1 year, let alone 5 years.
It's a pretty long time, particularly right. as your audience as a whole has grown ridiculously in the last 5 years, right? So, I mean, to go that long without doing it, do you sort of – I'm curious to know, before we get into the details of what that survey and the results kind of garnered for you, I mean – do you regret not doing that more regularly, or do you think it was what it was kind of thing?
I regret it.
Okay.
Straight up. Because now, as a result of the survey, and I'll go over some of the questions I asked and the results, I am now better able to serve my audience. And when you can better serve your audience, you're going to get better results and generate more income and be shared more and all those good things that come along with actually helping your audience out more. Sure. Now, I was doing a good job of helping my audience. That's why the business was going well and a lot of people read my income reports and that sort of stuff. But it just makes me wonder how much I was actually leaving on the table or how much I wasn't actually making as much as I potentially could have. And then what I could also do with that additional income. You know, I'm working with Pencils of Promise now. I'm on the advisory board, which I'm really stoked about. Who knows? I could have built twice as many schools in Africa because mm-hmm. of this. So it just makes me think of it in that way. But you can't always kick yourself for stuff that you didn't do. This is something I've learned over time too. You can't get upset at what you didn't do. You can only learn from what you've done in the past or haven't done in the past and make sure that you're taking the right actions moving forward. And that's kind of what we're doing now. And so I ran this survey in July. I was actually in Australia while the results were coming in. And I said, okay, when I come back, we're going to assess these questions and analyze the results. And a lot of this was inspired by a connection that somebody else in another mastermind group I have, Jamie Tardy from Eventual Millionaire. You know her, obviously.
Sure, yeah.
And she connected me. She just seems to know everybody.
She does.
You know?
She's like a walking Rolodex. That's what whenever anybody mentions her name, I just think networking, I think connections, and I think introductions, because that's what she does better than anybody that I've come across, actually.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And she connected me with somebody named Ryan Levesque. And mm-hmm. I had never really heard of this person before, but she recommended I read his book. And because I was running a survey before I was going to Australia, I picked it up really fast and I just breezed right through it. And it was so eye-opening in terms of what I could potentially ask my audience, what questions I could ask and how to ask, so that I know better what they're all about, what their pains and issues are, so that I can better serve them. And a lot of amazing things came out of that. And I asked, you know, one of the big lessons and ask is the first question you should ask your audience if you're doing a survey should be an open-ended question that essentially asks, well, what are you struggling with?
Yep.
Or what is your number one challenge with niche? And my first question was, what's your number one single biggest online business challenge right now? Please be descriptive. And we had over 5,000 people respond. And again, these are open-ended questions. So
sure.
myself and my team, we broke these down and we figured out, okay. And the big lesson here is we took these answers. There was a number of other questions too, but we took the answers from this most important question and we were able to then break down the audience into different types or buckets, as we call it. And it was narrowed down to about 10. And then we could see which ones were more popular than others and which ones could be combined. And we essentially landed on 3 to 5 different buckets in the audience. And the major ones that came out of this were, and then I learned further the numbers after asking follow-up questions. For example, how long have you been running your business for? How much money are you generating from your business? All those sort of follow-up questions. You did a great survey too. Actually, you were a great help for me in terms of the language that I used on those follow-up questions too. So thank you for that.
Hmm.
Well, I found out that 33% of my audience doesn't even have a business yet.
See, that in itself is a major – it wasn't a major eye-opener for you, right?
I mean, I knew that there was people in my audience who hadn't started a business yet. That's why they were coming to the site. But to see it actually be one-third of my audience, one out of every three people that visit my website don't even have a business, it makes me think about what that experience is like for that person when they go to my homepage.
Sure.
So they go to the homepage. Oh, my gosh. Look at all this information. Where do I get started? What do I do? Scared. I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And that's a very common factor. And we know this not just from guessing and analyzing in that way, like I just said, but we actually read a lot of the results from these questions. And people were saying, well, I came to your site and I was just overwhelmed. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know what to do. There's too many things. I'm overwhelmed. Too many choices. All those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So that was a big eye-opener. 50% of my audience, I found out, has a business, yet is not generating more than $500 a month, which to see it at that break in the numbers there at $500 a month or less, that completely shifts my mind in terms of, well, what kinds of content would be best for those people? And obviously the kind of content that's relevant to people who don't have a business yet is going to be different to those who do have a business, which is different to those who are doing really well in their business.
Sure. Yeah.
And so eventually we started to break down the audience into, okay, these three different chunks. And we called them level zero for people who don't have a business yet. Level one, which is people who are just getting started or stuck and they're making under $500 a month. And then level two, which is everybody else. And then the first step and the kind of lowest hanging fruit was from that point forward was to not only serve that audience in terms of the kind of content I was going to be pushing out, blog content, podcast content, videos, and really just honing in on who those people are and their language, but also the email. The emails that I was collecting were all going for 5 years into one list,
right,
with a good sequence of emails that were 42 emails long that covered a whole year's worth of content. And that's important because people would constantly get emails. They'd get used to opening them. So when I send a broadcast, they'd be more likely to open them too, constantly delivering value. But then I thought about some of the content in those emails. A lot of that content wasn't relevant to everybody.
Yeah, level one or level zero, whatever the case may be.
Right. And right. So I could easily see somebody opening an email. Here's some advanced SEO strategies. Well, I don't even have a business yet. I'm unsubscribing. Just right. Didn't make sense. So my job now as CEO of my company is to make sure that everybody who comes across my brand in one way, shape, or form gets content that matters to them. And it was really easy for me to start with email. And I pretty much wiped everything clean. I didn't delete my list, obviously. But I moved over to a platform, an email service provider that allowed me to easily break down my audience into these different buckets and then start delivering targeted emails to each of those different segments. And since doing this, so we can get into the details, I'll let you ask some questions about it and help me help your audience as best as possible. But now I switched from essentially every time I sent an autoresponder email, I was getting about a 20 to 25% open rate, which is still pretty good, and a click-through rate of about 3 to 8% if there was a link in those emails, which is not bad. Now, in each of these buckets that I have, and I could see these in this email service provider that I'm using, I go to the level zero people and I see each of these emails are averaging about 65% to 70% open rate.
Yeah, that's huge right there.
Like, I mean, that's crazy.
That's pretty,
that's
basically unheard of in the online business world. I mean, very rarely will you get those kind of open rates so high.
Right. And it's all because they know they're getting emails that matter to them.
Sure.
And I'll go through the sequence because I think how they get onboarded into the email is really important.
Yes.
But the click-through rates are now 15 to 20%.
Holy moly. I love
it. Which is ridiculous. So when you think about that call to action, whatever that call to action is, going back to your blog to read a blog post, going back to a sales page to read something, or clicking a download to provide more value to your audience, it's so many more people who are interacting with my audience. And you know, not very many people are talking about segmentation because it's kind of complicated. And I think I've done a good job of really figuring it out by putting myself in the situation to figure it out. And a lot of people talk about building your list and conversions and building your list. But how important is building your list if you don't know what to send them or how to target those emails? And that's why I'm really stoked and passionate about this right now. And I have a lot of content coming out on the blog that has come out on the blog related to this, because actually through the surveys, one of the number one topics that people who have a business wanted to learn more about was email marketing. So I now know that, and here I am providing information.
Sure.
So
there you go. And I mean, it's tough to remember everything we talk about because we talk so often. And I remember you also mentioning not so long ago that you were now even thinking about going back into your archives and starting to tweak older posts and even maybe completely delete certain posts that were completely irrelevant now. Have you done that or is that something
you're in the middle of doing that right now?
Okay.
And it's hard.
Of course.
Because, I mean, I have over 1,000 posts in my archive, but also I've spent a lot of hours on those posts. I don't want to just delete them.
Right.
In my mind, I'm like, that's like just wiping out hours of time
right.
of my life right there. But when you think about it, and I got this quote, it's not necessarily a quote, but this idea from Todd Tressiter, who's in another mastermind group with me. I watched a presentation he gave at FinCon, which was, here was the title of his presentation. It was How I Deleted a Third of My Content and Increased My Traffic by 300% or something like that.
Right.
And he was doing what he called the blog audit. And this is what I was doing too. You're essentially trimming the weeds. And what he described, which just makes so much sense, is when you publish a book, for example, you're never going to publish the first draft of it, right? That'd be idiotic to do.
Sure.
But what do you do? You do multiple drafts, you make sure it's great, and you put it out there to become a finalized product. But with our blogs, when we're creating and posting over time and things change, it essentially becomes a first draft. Our blog, whatever we publish, that is always sort of the first draft.
Sure.
And if we want our blog to provide the best value, if we want our business, our brand to provide the best value, we have to trim the weeds and take things out that don't matter anymore.
Sure.
And my team and I went back into the archives. We actually had a spreadsheet created of all the posts. We started checking off, is this relevant? How relevant? Does it need changes? Does this need to be deleted? And I would say there's maybe 100 posts that don't matter at all.
So anymore. Have you deleted them already? Or are you still hanging on?
Not yet, because we're in the middle of actually.
You're hanging on by dear life for them, aren't
you? We're in the middle of a design change as well to accommodate for these different buckets and make the experience on the website better too. But the thing that happened as a result of pruning Todd's website when he did this is he increased the rankings for a lot of his other posts. And this makes sense because your blog, your business in whole becomes just such a much better resource to deliver that information that your audience is looking for. It becomes a much better experience going through your site. People spend more time on your site, which is all qualification for higher rankings in SEO.
Sure.
And in Google. And so we're in the middle of doing that right now too. So as you can see, there's a lot of changes going on, but it's all helping me to think about why am I doing this? Well, it's to make the experience through my brand, no matter what parts people are on, much better. We're actually going to go into older podcast episodes too and just put little notes at the beginning, actually re-upload MP3 files and say, hey guys, Pat here. Make sure when you hear this part that this website actually got changed to Upwork.com. You know, Elance and Odesk, those aren't relevant anymore because they combined it to Upwork. You know, little things like that. Those are nice touches where people can then listen and say, oh, Pat actually goes back and updates his stuff.
Right. And people, as a rule of thumb, we don't do that. In terms of online entrepreneurship.
Oh, most people, once it's posted, it's gone.
It's done. Exactly. Done. So, I mean, that just... But that is, you know, for me, it doesn't surprise me that you're planning on doing all that stuff because, you know, you do genuinely care for your audience and you've had that long-term relationship with them. Many of them, you know, many of them actually might have even already outgrown you in terms of business owners, but they're still tuning into what you're all about because they just enjoy you and what you're all about as a business owner yourself. So it's testament to you and your brand. And you know how I feel about the whole brand thing. Your brand is what people say about you when you're not around. When you're not around, people are saying good things about you. You know what I mean? Well, they're always saying good things to you about you to me, but maybe they just know that we're close friends and they wouldn't dare upset Chris when it comes to Pat. I don't know. But anyway, either way, it's good that you're doing that. All right. So look, let's deep dive then here in the second half of the call. Let's really deep down. You've done the survey. You've got your three buckets, level 0, 1, and 2. And you're now delivering, or in fact, your entire content creation and marketing model is changing. Your website design is changing. Everything's geared towards getting the right kind of content inside, or rather in front of the right people, right. And for the people that it's most relevant for. But email is still obviously a very, very large part of this game. It's not just the website and segmentation on that. Email has to be about as important as anything else.
Oh, yeah.
What have you done? Talk us through the strategy that you've used to be able to segment your list.
Okay. This is great. And I love that you mentioned that how important email is. I mean, website is like level, or I don't want to say levels because I don't want to confuse it. It's like interaction. You know, it's like the first experience people have. But when people give you permission to send them more stuff, that's like taking that to the next step.
Sure.
And you're able to build a stronger relationship. You're able to prove yourself as an authority and an expert even more and have your audience take action because you're sending these emails directly to people. And I think that's why email is so, so important. That's why they say money is in the list. But I don't truly believe that. It's not just having a list. It's what you do with it.
Exactly.
This is kind of how I set it up. So currently, on the site, when I switched over to this new platform, it's called ConvertKit. Nathan Berry from NathanBerry.com created it, and I just am in love with it. When people subscribe via forums on my website, If it's a general form where they are subscribing to get updates, or maybe there's a lead magnet that's not necessarily specific for a for one of these groups, they get put into my main list. So my main list sends a series of emails, and each of those emails, the purpose of each of those emails that go out, again, automatically, are to have people self-select into one of these levels. So literally in the first email, let me read you off what I mentioned in the first email. The subject line is, welcome to Smart Passive Income, important action required. And in this email, I talk about how I'm doing whatever I can to make sure that people get only emails that matter to them. I'm kind of priming them for this call to action to help them help themselves. And I say, you know what? I'm going to include links in my emails just so they expect that. And if those links matter to you, click on them. If they don't click on them. I'm actually telling people not to click on links, which sounds crazy because you want people to click on stuff. But this is my way of telling my audience, hey, I'm going to learn about you as we go. So I need you to help me and actually click on links that matter to you. So let's start with this very first question. Which of the following best describes your online business activity? Click on the one answer that best describes you. Number one, I don't have an online business. Number two, I have an online business, but I'm stuck between $0 and $500 a month. You've heard this already, right?
Sure.
Number three, I have an online business that is generating more than $500 per month. So through this particular platform, and you can do this with a lot of email, other email service providers, but I like ConvertKit because it makes it very easy to do this type of thing, where when people click on that particular link, they get redirected to another page, and I'll tell you what goes on in a second. But behind the scenes, they get put into level, whatever level they clicked on.
Right.
That particular series of emails from that point forward. And they get taken off of the main list. So if they click on and take the action here, I don't need to send them any more emails about, hey, which one are you? Because they've already self-selected.
Love it. I just want to state real quick, this is the very early, so this is nothing new, okay?
No, not at all.
This is sales 101. You know I've been in sales my entire career. The prospecting part of the sales process is right at the top of that list, and you've already done that by getting them to opt in initially. Now all you're doing literally is just qualifying them, and that's
the
next part.
This is the yes ladder.
Yes, love it.
The yes ladder. They said yes to subscribing. Now they're saying yes to this is the one I'm at. And depending on which one they click on, because with this email service provider, you need to send them somewhere in order to, you know, it's a link that they click on, and based on which link they click, they get sent somewhere, and that's the course they get subscribed to or the series of emails. So if, for example, somebody clicks on, I don't have an online business yet, that automatically in the background puts them into that new level zero series of emails. But they get redirected to a page that I created on my website specifically for these people. And it says, future entrepreneurs, welcome. Again, I'm already tailoring my language to them. Language that I got where? Right on my survey.
Yep.
I'm just pulling stuff exactly from the survey.
There you go.
I'll show you some more powerful stuff with the emails that are coming up. I'll show you in just a sec. But on that page, I say, hey, thank you for joining me. This is what you can expect. You're going to get these kinds of emails with these kinds of topics to help you get started. And just for fun, I put a Facebook plugin on there, or a script. You can just get this for free off of Facebook, where people can start commenting right under there. And I said, hey guys, if you want to introduce yourselves really quick to the rest of the other future entrepreneurs here, leave a comment, introduce yourself, tell us a fun fact, that sort of thing. And there are hundreds of people.
Okay, so where is that page? This is a page that's on your website, right?
It's a page that's on my website that you can't get unless you click on this particular link.
Love it. Okay.
Through the email. And again, this shows why do I have people leave comments? One, so that they can interact, and I'm kind of, quote, training them to start to interact with me and get nice little rewards from doing that, which is they see their comment up there. It's actually posted on my website. But also, they get to see a whole bunch of other people there too.
Sure.
And they get to feel like they're not alone, and they can relate to the other people in my audience too. Now, the emails that, let's just talk about level zero, for example, because this is where it is the most clear. But level zero, again, people who don't have an online business, the very first email they get after they self-selected is, dear name, Pat here, quick question. Do any of the following statements reflect where you're at right now with your desire to create an online business? And then I bullet point seven different things, which were the top seven reasons why people feared starting an online business, which came directly from the survey in their own language. It says, I'm overwhelmed from all the information available to me. The fear of failure is stopping me from moving forward. I don't know where to start. I'm not sure what kind of business I'd like to create. I don't feel like I have what it takes to create a successful business. My perfectionism gets in the way. I'm afraid of wasting my time and money. Now I'm going to go into Actually, I took a card from Ryan Levesque, who said that in some of your emails, it's good to ask for a reply, because then that gets people to reply. It shows their email client that this is actually an important email, so that I don't get put in the spam folders for these people. So for these people specifically, I ask people to reply, and just so they know I'm a real person on the other end. And I ask them to say, well, what's the one thing that you're scared of, or which one of the fears that I mentioned relates to you most? And so I go here once a week, and I just reply to these super quickly. And I'm gonna try and find. I should have looked this up earlier, but there's people here that say things like, "You nailed everything that I was thinking about," or "How did you know?" or
"I love
you
it.
Took the words right out of my mouth. I can't wait for more information from you." And again, this isn't tricky. I'm just using their language to describe stuff. And this is a quote from Jay Abraham. He said, "If you can define the problem better than your target customer, they will automatically assume that you have the solution."
There you go.
And here's an email right here. This is from a girl named Jacqueline. She said, "Wow, all of these statements and more definitely describe how I feel about the prospect of starting any kind of online business." And then she goes into a little paragraph about where she came from. And at the end here, she says, "Thank you so much for all the resources and advice. It is encouraging to know that it is a possibility at all. And half the hardest part is just getting started. So I appreciate it. I look forward for more to more from you." So man, this is so cool.
It's trust.
So,
you're building trust throughout this entire process as well. And as we all know, trust is the most important part of any sales process too.
Right. Now, here's the plan moving forward. When I come out with a new site, or even I'm going to start doing this now, I can create specific forms that automatically skip the main list, the one where people have to self-select, and it self-selects for me. So if I come out with a post, for example, that is specifically tailored toward these people who don't have a business yet, maybe it's about setting up your LLC or something, you know, or business formation or tax, or, you know, all those sorts of things that only a beginner would need to know.
Sure.
I can have an email form there and have it put people specifically into level zero nurture right away. And, if you have a lead magnet related to that, it's going to increase your subscribership even more, but it just makes that process even more streamlined. And so that's the plan moving forward.
What you're doing, and that term moving forward, you're moving forward that part of your sales process as well by not requiring them to self-select. And I like that. That's cool.
Right. It's kind of doing it already.
Sure.
So, what's the purpose of all this? To segment my audience, yes. To deliver more targeted content to each of those segments, yes. But it is also so that, and it's kind of crazy, when I finally come out with my books and courses, they will be so easy to place within these automated funnels. And it's just going to work on autopilot to a point where I can just focus on delivering more value to people, getting people to share SPI and what I'm doing in these articles, and bring other people to the site, so that they can then subscribe and get put into this funnel, and it'll just be a nice little cycle from there.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we've been talking a lot about what you're doing in terms of sort of taking the business up to the next level going into 2016. This, for sure, based on what I know about it, is going to help you become way more successful than you would have without it, and way faster as well. But I'm curious to know, and you know, I don't always ask the easy questions, but I'm curious to know, throughout this entire process, what have been some of the struggles that you've had personally in through this exercise? I mean, it is a crap ton of work. Let's not mess around, right, to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this right now, dude, and they're like, man, that is so clever. That is so smart, pun intended. That is, you know, blah, 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 blah. But then on the flip side of that coin, they're probably thinking, that is so much work. So, I mean, like, what are some of the things that you've struggled with, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, I mean, it took me a while to figure out or find a tool that could actually help me segment my audience in this way. I was actually on Infusionsoft before I moved to ConvertKit, and that was just a headache and a half, but we won't have to talk about that right now. Some other struggles were just finding time to write these new emails that were specifically targeted to these people. Even going before that, you know, once I got the survey results, I was a little bit overwhelmed with all those answers, and trying to figure out, okay, well, who are these people anyway? I had a lot of help in terms of getting my team members involved to really define what these buckets were. And then another thing is just, you know, making sure that everything is in working order, because there's multiple moving parts that are running simultaneously in parallel with each other. And what really helped me was actually just, you know, good old post-it notes and just writing, you know, doing that thing and moving things around, even having post-it notes for each specific email that I wanted to create, moving them around in sequential order. And I actually where people go when they click on this and that and this, it can get very complicated. And I got some good advice from Ramit Sethi when I told him I was going to be segmenting my audience and getting more advanced in terms of how I serve content. He said, you know what, keep it simple. And I was like, well, what do you mean by keep it simple? He's like, you can get as targeted and as segmented as you want. You could target women in California who own dogs over 5 years old if you wanted to, know, who just live in Barstow or something. No, that's in Vegas, but actually, I don't know. But anyway, you know what I mean? You could get ridiculously crazy with this. So that's why I've focused down on three. And if you're just starting out, it might be simplest, especially if you have a product, to just simply divide your audience into two. People who haven't purchased a product, people who purchased a product. It makes sense to serve them different emails and to give them a different experience.
Agreed.
So start there, and then you can work into something kind of a little bit more complicated, like what I'm doing right now. But here's the other cool thing. I didn't even talk to you about this, Chris. So I'm working with another company to try and make the content even more relevant for people who come across my website, depending on what level they're at. And this company is helping me work with a tool called Optimizely. You might have heard this before. They do split testing and things like that. It's important to split test, but there's also a part of Optimizely that I didn't know, and this is the personalization aspect of Optimizely, where, for example, I have a level zero nurture email sequence. And one of those emails is the most used page on SPI. And I just simply drive people to my resource page, a page that lists all the tools and resources that I mentioned anywhere across the blog that I recommend. I do get an affiliate commission from a lot of those. And I have that also in my level one and level two email sequences. Now, somebody, for example, who is in level one or two, who already has a business, they don't need to be served a promotion for Bluehost hosting and domain.
Right, right.
It doesn't make sense. It's just taking up room. I should show something more advanced like lead pages or Rainmaker or something like that, right? But now using Optimizely, without having to create any new pages, I can go in there just through simple tags and special links that I put in those emails. Depending on which email they click that link on, it'll serve them a different set of resources. And I'm really, really excited about this level of personalization. Again, this is more advanced stuff, and I'm still learning about this, and I'm trying to start simple with just one page on my site. But it could get to a point where if somebody has clicked on something in the past, I know what to then serve them in the future. And this is sort of like retargeting, but not really, because it's more about the content on my website, not just ads.
Well, it's like, I would call it like native retargeting,
yes,
right? Like retargeting your own audience, and you know they've read, you know they've seen this post, therefore they might be interested in this podcast episode or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. If they read my podcasting tutorial, podcastingtutorial.com, they might be interested.
Always be closing, Patrick.
Right?
Always be closing.
They might be interested in the Smart Podcast Player.
Right.
You know? So very easy logic that can happen there. And that's kind of the next step for me after I've get all this stuff.
One thing at a time. So let me ask you this then. How many emails have you written in the last 8 weeks?
40.
Timestamp, hour-wise, what did it take you?
About a week. That was my,
So like 1 hour per email.
Essentially.
Right.
Yes. Some are longer than others and some are shorter than others. But I was like, you know what? This has to get done. And this is the first step. I'm going to clear my entire plate. I'm going to get ahead on all my content, podcast, blog, everything. And I'm just going to write emails every day. Here are the emails I'm going to crank out this day. Here are the emails I'm going to crank out this day. And I just was like, boom. And I can't do that all the time. It's hard to do that all the time where you just like are clearing everything and you're just super hyper focused. But you can have these bursts over time during the year. And this is one of them.
Think about it like this, right? You batch your blog content. You batch your podcast content. Why not batch your autoresponder content as well?
Oh, yeah.
It's just like anything else, right? Just like anything else.
And of course, people have reached the end of some of these sequences already. The people who have subscribed early on. I'm just going to be creating more emails over time whenever I have the opportunity to batch. And when those things happen, they'll get them. And I'm not too worried about about that part of it. You know, they've gone through X number of emails already. I've built a relationship with them. And
you'll have broadcasts. You'll have new things to send to them as time goes by anyway, just naturally in terms of the stuff that you send, right?
I'm jumping around.
Okay, he's getting excited. Here's, now, for you guys tuning in, we're video calling each other here, although this is audio only. He was literally jumping up and down like a cat on a hot tin roof. Go on, what's going on?
So you had mentioned broadcasts, right? I don't know if you're subscribed to my Weekend Digest.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're getting all excited about this.
Look,
okay,
you smiling, now it's you, though. Okay, so this is something I wanted to experiment with because I had a lot of people ask me, you know, I have a lot of content coming out across all my different platforms. A lot of people were asking me, Pat, can you send me an email every time you come out with a new piece of content? I could. But then you'd get sometimes 2 emails a day for 7 days a week. I have Ask Pat. I have the SPI podcast. It would be very difficult for me to say, oh, well, do you want to subscribe to this one but not this one? Or what about these two? And if people want to switch, so on and so forth. It'd be very difficult to do that. So my solution was to create a Weekend Digest that summarizes all the content that I previously written or posted or recorded or just have out there from that previous week. Everything from my podcast to blog to SPI TV, even Periscope replays or any sort of announcements that happen. And here's what I did that a lot of people love. You know, I could have automatically just sent this out to all of my list, but I didn't do that because I know some people might not want this. And it's better to have people opt into something than to have to opt out of it, if that makes sense. And so I said, okay, I actually sent one experimental digest, which was the previous week of content. I sent that to everybody and I said, hey guys, this is a new format email. It's going to come out every Saturday. I didn't subscribe you to this, but if you like this and you want to make sure you don't miss any of my content and also conveniently have it in your inbox anytime you need it, click here to subscribe to this digest and you will get it every weekend. If this isn't a link for you, then you won't get a digest email again. And again, I'm just trying to help you by sending you only stuff that you want. So if you want this, click here. And I've only sent an email out once, or I've done this digest 3 weeks. I sent one email to my main entire list to see who would want to be a digest member. And I have 13,000 people who now get emails over the weekend with links directly to the content that I published who might not have been able to get that content otherwise. And it's been huge. I've seen massive spikes over the weekend as a result of doing this.
Yeah.
I'm providing more value to my audience. Obviously, as a result of that, more affiliate income or when products come down the road, that too.
Yeah, no doubt. And we do exactly the same inside of the Upreneur community as well. So every Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time, we send out an email to all of our members with any community updates, any or links to any new proprietary training videos that we put in there as well. And then we include the top 5 commented posts in the community forums for that week as well. So everybody can get up to date. Because I appreciate it. Yeah, not everybody is in there every single day. You know what I mean? I would say on average, most members probably pop in 2, maybe 3 times a week. But again, I've seen spikes, massive spikes every Friday and Saturday where people are catching up with the forum posts or watching one of the new videos or whatever the case may be. So it's a good idea. It works well. Who else does this very well? I've seen is Michael Hyatt. Does this pretty well. I think his go out every weekend as well. But you know what I like about yours specifically is that there's no graphics in them. They're text only and they display brilliantly on any device, whereas Michael's have a ton of graphics in them. And, you know, particularly if you're on a phone, yeah, I mean, the branding is good. But I mean, at the end of the day, if all you want is the content, you don't need the pretty logos and the photos. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I write to my audience like I would write to a friend. And if I were going to send you an email, Chris, just saying like, hey, man, what's up? What's going on? How's the family? I wouldn't decorate it with all the stuff.
Right, exactly. You know, right.
I would just be like, hey, dude, here's what's going on. If it was a lot of content, I would put subheaders in there to make it easy for you to scan. I do the same thing for my audience.
Sure.
And people like that. And that's my approach. It's going to be different for different people.
Okay, so look, wrapping up, last question. If you are somebody that has a list already, okay, and we'll just assume that if you don't have a list going already and you're thinking about starting it in the future, you're mad, but you'll get around to it sooner or later, and that will be it. But I mean, like if we do have a list that's been grown for a while, let's say we've got a couple of thousand people in there, you know, and we're doing well, we're happy with that. What's the first step or two that we can take to make
a bigger impact on the people that are on that list, as well as hopefully further down the line, you know, end up lining our pockets with a little bit more cash. What do you think the first few steps we can do?
Well, the first step is, if you have 2,000 subscribers, be really happy with yourself.
Absolutely.
That's a great amount. I mean, here's a trick I use, and I mentioned this in Email the Smart Way. Imagine the number of people on your email list in a room, and they're all there to see you. I mean, even if it's 50 people, that's a lot of people to be standing in front of. That's the opportunity you have with your email, and because those are real people on the other end. So be happy with that, please. But at the same time, the number one thing you want to do is try and understand your audience better, what they're going through, because you will, even though you're targeting a specific market, hopefully, you will see there are subsections of that market that you can then serve with different content. Because if you just are thinking everybody's going to each benefit from each email the same way, you're crazy. And so the number one thing you should do is, even if you could do this right now, send an email out to your audience, ask them a single question. What are you struggling with right now? The answers you will get back are going to be golden.
Oh yeah.
And go into those answers and analyze them with the thought that you do want to see if you can divide them into at least one of two groups, if not more, but not too many. And then you could think about, okay, well, what kinds of emails would make sense for this group? What kinds of emails will make sense for this group? And then see where the products that you have fit in. They might not fit into group one, but maybe your job is to get people from group one to group two, at which point then you would serve them that product.
So right.
Again, once you start mapping this out, it becomes much more clear, and that's where I would start.
And not only that, if you don't have any products or services yet, this is your opportunity to serve that audience and obviously provide some solutions to problems. Yeah.
They will tell you basically without saying straight up what product to create.
Right. Yeah. Love it. Okay.
Boom.
Brother, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Appreciate you making the time amongst all these changes that you are on a mission to fulfill.
I am on a mission.
You got a new book coming out early next year. We're going to have you back on the show to talk about that again for sure.
Thanks,
but let me ask you, I mean, just from one friend to another, how freaking excited are you right now about business and life in general with everything that's been going on this year?
Oh, man. I've never been more excited. I mean, I'm always excited. I'm very thankful and blessed for where I've ended up here, but I know I'm just getting started.
Right.
And, you know, the thing that excites me the most are two things. One, just the response from the audience. So, you know, every time I try something new and do something and share how it goes, you know, people benefit from it and they share me the result. They share with me the results and how I've been able to affect their lives. And that's super cool. And to know that I can even do more of that is what's really exciting, but also how it's having an effect on my children. My son is 5. You know my son very well. I don't know if you saw the Periscope that it came out with recently, but it's actually, I picked him up from kindergarten and he just started talking about business ideas. Like, man, I want to create this. And I scoped it afterwards. We parked and I was like, I have to capture this moment.
Oh, good God. Absolutely.
And watch it because it's 9 minutes. I actually posted a replay on YouTube and it is hilarious, but also I wanted to cry because I was so happy to hear him.
Sure.
Just go over some of the principles that I know that I've said before, like, okay, well, what is a business? A business is a solution to a problem. And just he's coming up with these different problems and just brainstorming these solutions. And I'm just super proud because I know the more successful I become, I feel like the better example I am, not only to my audience, but to my family too.
And the bigger impact you'll have on them as well.
I mean, oh, yeah.
The bigger impact. For that.
So watch out. He's coming up.
He's coming up, everybody. Keone Flynn. Keep your eyes open for Keone. I miss the little guy and Kai as well, but I'm hoping to see you guys at the beginning of next year sometime. So thanks again, bro, for being on.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right, but you guys, show notes to everything that we discussed in the show, ConvertKit and some links over to Pat's site and everything as well, over at chrisducker.com/episode134. I'm feeling old now. I know. I'm feeling really old now because I've got all. But what are you at?
You're 134 years old.
No, no, I'm talking about, come on. How many episodes at SPI have you got now?
I've recorded 192.
Okay.
We are up to 180.
There you go. All right. So you got a little head start on me there. But I think when you began Smart Passive Income, I was already going with virtual business lifestyle. Remember that back in the day?
VBL.
VBL, man. Oh, dear me. I have pivoted, ladies and gents, just once or twice. All right. Dude, thanks again.
Thank you for having me, man.
Guys, one more time, show notes, chrisducker.com/episode134. I'll be back at you again next Tuesday. We're going to be talking all about my pre-launch strategy for youpreneur.com. It's a goodie. Make sure you tune in. Till then, take good care. Be kind to each other. Bye for now.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business,
as well as rub shoulders,
gain support,
have access to immediate feedback,
as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information
and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of
today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you
on the inside.